All right, then. It's 7:19 on the Dave Elliott Show. We have a, well, it's going to be a warm and muggy Tuesday going on for us here today. So I hope you are prepared for that. No, you're not going to need an extra shirt today. You'll be fine. Just stay in the air conditioning. Hey, Bob Wiener is with us, and he's a good friend of the show. He's a national issues and public affairs strategist, and he's been the spokesman for the White House Drug Czar and four-star General Barry McCaffrey, the House Government Operations Committee, and Chairman John Conyers of Michigan, Congressman Charlie Rangel of New York, and the House Narcotics Committee, and was chief of staff for the House Aging Committee in Florida, icon Chairman Claude Pepper, who we all remember very well, where he led successful efforts to abolish mandatory retirement and protect Social Security and Medicare. He's also the legislative assistant for Ed Koch of New York and a political aide to Ted Kennedy. And in your spare time, what do you do, Bob? That's what I want to know.
Dave, thanks so much. You have such a great show where you bring out the issues, and it's really always fun to talk with you because you really get somewhere.
In fact, I remember having you come here a year or two ago to talk to the
their dinner, correct?
Yeah, the dinner here. That was a lot of fun. You've had op-eds in the Naples Daily News and other places as well. But the question I have for you today is the president. He seems to be a lame duck.
Well, he's not. It's pretty unlame when you get Bin Laden and you get health care that just today, huge headline, health law credited with helping to stabilize Medicare. He simply never gets credit for what he is doing. Unemployment is down. It's about half of what it was, and the stock market is double of what it was. Actually, it's triple what it was when he took office.
But you have to admit,
He never gets credit.
But for the last 3 weeks, it's been a pretty ugly time for him in D.C., has it not?
Well, when you got the Republicans, I don't want to be partisan. When you have Congress that wants to do nothing but, and this is the least productive Congress in history with 150 bills, you know, it's not as though we don't have problems in this country, compared to the second worst Congress, which was the last one, 250 bills over their 2 years. When you have that, and all they want to do is pass a resolution authorizing him to sue him for the fact that he is doing his job, that's pretty outrageous. Because on this lawsuit, by the way, he has less executive orders, fewer executive orders than any other president in the last 20 years. So they're suing him because he has too many executive orders. It's really an outrageous situation when all they want to do, and I don't want to bring this out, but it has to do with the color of his skin. The presidency that he is.
I've tried to keep race out of this as much as I can. I just think there are other issues at play here. But let me ask you this one question. You would admit, would you not, that he is having a pretty rough couple of weeks?
Well, I'd say the world is in some shambles right now. I would say that what's going on with Israel, although they've been fighting for, you know, hundreds of years, decades,
right,
most recently, in Ukraine, in Libya, in Iran, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and all of that, and the Time magazine cover of Russia Cold War II, it's a very difficult situation. But we really don't want to go back to a foreign policy where it's based on impulse. He has at least kept us out of war, and it gives us a fighting chance if the Congress would only pass an infrastructure bill to use the money that we do have in our country to get something done.
Well, now of course,
I'm most upset, Dave, on one special thing. And that is that the Congressional Budget Office and the Library of Congress say that if we had passed, and if we would pass, an infrastructure bill and a jobs bill, we'd be a 1% less or a million more jobs, 1% less in unemployment, a million more jobs. And in my history, and you mentioned the positions that I've had, I've never seen a Congress that when there's an unemployment situation that's difficult doesn't pass an infrastructure bill. These guys just won't do anything to give this president a victory on anything.
Well, it is true that Congress has pretty much demonstrated their complete unwillingness to do anything that could be used as a record either for or against them in the upcoming midterm elections, and that's really what this is all about. We can't pass any legislation because people might use it either against us or for our opponent. And we can't have that, which is kind of antithetical to what the whole process is supposed to be. But that being said, what about the criticism that the right has leveled toward him on things like delaying action on helping to arm the rebels in Syria or arm the rebels in Ukraine, or on his decision to take his time on putting in some serious sanctions against the Russian government, although I see in the paper this morning that the administration is considering more sanctions?
He weighed in Syria the situation that if you send arms and if you get involved in there, you don't even know who are the good guys and who are the bad guys and who's really Al-Qaeda and who's not. And that is the problem in specifically, you got to tick these off one by one, in Syria. What he did accomplish is what is in the world's best interest. He actually got Assad to dismantle his chemical weapons. That was the objective. That was the horrific thing that Assad was doing, and that he has stopped. If we go in and stop every last dictator from doing every last bad thing, we'd be the only ones left, and we'd have military everywhere in the world, and we'd have even less money than we have now to spend on the things we need to. So he made a very rational decision there. In Ukraine, everybody forgets that the eastern part of Ukraine was effectively very pro-Russian. Don't forget the people there wanted by an overwhelming majority. Granted, Russia stopped some voting, but even our own pollsters who went in showed that it was massive, that eastern Ukraine was Russian supporting. So what are we supposed to do? How do we control the entire world like that? He's really putting his best controlling factors that he can into all of these situations.
Do you think that the president has a chance to come out of the last 2 or 3 weeks, especially with the problem on the southern border right now, with any kind of victories?
Well, there's another example of a congressional mess. He proposes a $4 billion fix, and they won't do anything. And then they say he won't do anything. The reality, Dave, is, and I'm not necessarily for it, but he did have a solution. The immigration bill that the Senate passed and the House has held up would have put 20,000 new people on the border. So there was a solution at hand. The other thing that everybody forgets about this supposed huge border crisis is we actually have a negative flow now. There are more people leaving the United States, and this is all documented, USA Today headlines and all, more people leaving the United States to go back to Mexico than the ones coming in. So I'm not, you know, this is a lot of fluff and huff and puff here. There is a humanitarian crisis of the kids. We actually can't have the incentive of the kids come in and just be dumped here. But we also can't have them being raped and murdered on their sides of the border. So Obama had a summit of the three presidents of the Central American countries and got them to agree they'll do more. We, likewise, will send them back, but carefully. And the ones that are here already, and stop future ones, the ones that are here already, we're going to have to do something about it in a humanitarian way.
Well, and again,
that's a rational approach he is taking.
The headlines this morning indicate that the administration is getting prepared between now and November to issue some sort of amnesty against the 6 million or so that they think are here illegally right now. And if he does do that by executive order, isn't that just going to fuel the fire even more with Republicans who already think he's overstepped his bounds with executive orders?
Well, that 6 million number you just used, Dave, is the lowest I've heard in a long
time. Well, 11 million is the other number, yeah.
It's really more like 14 to 20 million. But
yeah.
Okay. So I heard the executive order was going to be for the kids, not for all 6 million people that are here, or 14
whatever
million.
Whatever the number is, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it may be for the kids, and that would be one approach. You know, he's got to do this. Again, the Congress wants to blast him for doing things that are – actually, he has every right to run the administration. The Constitution is pretty clear on the executive branch exists.
Well, do you think the lawsuit against him on Obamacare is going to fail?
Yes, I do. This is a court that made Obamacare constitutional, and I want to know what program the administration of any party of any president hasn't done before. I don't know if you and everybody remember, but Medicare Part D was delayed by a year by the Bush administration to make sure that it ran right, a full year. So where's the precedent here for suing him over the fact that he's making sure that things work right in the administration? So there is no precedent for that, and I think it'll fail miserably.
All right. Bob, always fun. By the way, I saw some video of you. I know that you're a runner, And I saw some video of you, I think from North Carolina, up at like before dawn. It's nice to get up before the sun comes up, isn't it?
Dave, I know that your show is a lot of lifestyle, and it's very enjoyable for Floridians to have lifestyle. And one of the things is Florida has a lot of older folks,
yep.
of which I am one also. And yes, I was the media chair for the USA Masters Track Championships, which had people up to 97 years old
wow.
running in a track meet, and I had to open the meet and tell people how important it is to have lifestyle of fitness and health through training and competition. And any fitness program, running, biking, walking, swimming, jogging, shuffle, you know, racquetball, badminton is what I'm thinking of, anything that keeps you moving and active is really important. And by the way, if you do that a half hour a day every other day, you add 10 years to your life.
I saw that.
So I was opening the meet at 5:30 in the morning in the absolute dark before these 1,100 Olympians and world champions and every Joe and Mary as well came in to compete for national championships in age group running.
I saw that. And in fact, the study that was out yesterday says as little as 5 minutes a day of walking or running could add as much as 3 years to your life. So that's not an insurmountable obstacle, certainly for most people.
I don't buy, that's a little bit like these studies that are out now of eat fat, drink whole milk, have all the butter you want, and you'll be healthier in life. Dave, 5 to 10 minutes a day is not what the consensus of studies shows. If you want the 10 years on your life, it's a half hour every other day, and a little more intensity gives you more years on your life. So I take a little issue with that study that I saw yesterday.
Well, I'm just looking here. Nancy Snyderman right now on Morning Joe is saying running for 5 to 10 minutes a day can improve cardio health. And I guess the point I'm getting at is if you're normally sedentary, even that amount will make a little bit of a difference. And that's kind of what we need to do is ease people into it who might not be runners.
That's correct. And
yeah.
what I tell people is, you got to get to the fourth day. If you do the first day, you're going to be a little stiff. The second day, you're going to be a little stiffer. The third day, you're really trudging a little. But by the fourth day, holy crow, I feel great. So if you get to the fourth day of a fitness program, you could be there for the rest of your life.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You know that I think of you as a good friend, and we look forward to more discussions on this as the administration continues to wind down toward 2016, and we'll be in touch.
And thanks, Dave, so much for having
Bob.
Me. And by the way, in full disclosure, look forward to getting together with you over New Year's.
I'm looking forward to that as well. Bob Wiener, thank you, buddy.
Great, bye.
All right, it's 7:32, and we'll be right back.